I want to invite you this morning. We're going to jump into God's Word in just a few moments. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs. 90% of what the scripture I'm going to share with you this morning comes from the book of Proverbs. First of all, I want to share with you, number one, we're talking about Thanksgiving. Jane and I were talking this weekend about how blessed we are. Now, I'm sure you had the same prayer, but we're blessed with our family, our children, our grandchildren, future grandchildren, and we just thank God for how He has blessed us that way. But then we have another family as well. That family is you, and we each thank God that He called us to Five Forks Baptist Church. And I just want you to know this morning, I want to share with you that we love you. She loves you. I love you. And we're just honored to be here. And I know the other staff feel this way as well. Because of that, I want to share with you that we're also looking forward to the future that God has for us this coming year, especially the Long Range Planning Committee. Your Long Range Planning Committee met again yesterday. They met really, I guess, for the last time for a while, all right? Because we have what we believe are the goals that God would have for us, because God has blessed us with a good church, and what we do good. But we want to do better. We have our vision statement to make God's name great among all the nations. And then this is how we want to do it. There's three ways that we want to do it. We're going to serve God. You'll agree with that, won't you? That's why we're here. And then we want to engage this community. Average age out here is 36 years old. So we're going to, as we have in past years and now and in the future, we're going to mold our ministry as God leads, but it's going to be molded to bless us so that we can grow spiritually, but that we can reach this community as well. 36 years, 1.5 kids. I am so anxious to meet half a kid, you know? I really am. We want to engage the committee, a community, then we're going to grow together in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to tell the Long Range Planning team how much I appreciate you. I love you as well. You've done outstanding. We're going to do four things in the spring of this coming year, beginning in January. January 7th through February the 11th, we're going to have a prayer emphasis. We're going to, in Sunday school, we're going to study the book by Max Lucado, Before Amen. That's going to give us just a basis. We're going to get better at prayer, okay? So prayer, beginning January the 7th. Then that's going to lead us into care. We want to care. We want to make our prayers prayer cares, all right? And we're going to train you and teach you about how to utilize a tool. And it's called Bless Every House. And in this, we're going to teach you one Sunday school morning on February the 25th how to utilize this tool, how you can learn the names of just your neighbors so you can pray for them. And then, once we're praying for them, let me share with you this. I learned this, heard this little illustration this week, as a matter of fact. Have you ever just picked up a clod of dirt, and how hard it is. You ever picked one up, it's just like stone. How do you get that to be soft and pliable? Well, it has to be rained upon several times, doesn't it? The more rain that hits that clod of dirt, the softer it's going to be until finally you'll be able to break that clod of dirt apart. You know there's souls like that as well. They're hard toward the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that I know that souls are going to be, that hardness is going to be broken, is for you and I to pray for them. That's what we're going to do. We're going to begin praying. Two things happen when we pray. Two miracles. God performs two miracles when we pray for others. You know what they are? Number one, the lost are drawn to Jesus Christ. But the second miracle, Christians are drawn to the lost. And that's what I want to see as pastor. I want to see us have such a burden for those who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we're going to have prayer, we're going to have care, then we're going to share. And we're going to take another Sunday school time in March the 25th, to share with you such a simple way for you to share your faith. And then in April, we're going to throw in a bonus as well. April the 29th, also one Sunday school. We're going to give you just a few tips of how to study God's Word, of how to get the most out of your time and the most out of God's Word for you. So I'm looking forward to this. What I want to ask you to do between now and January, and even after January, is I am sure everybody in here, would you be able, if you were asked, to give three names of those you were spiritually concerned for? It may be a parent, it may be a grandparent, it may be a child, it may be a family member, it may be a co-worker or student, but someone you know that you're concerned about, especially their eternity, where they will spend eternity. I want to ask you to begin praying for those three names. You don't have to tell a soul who you're praying for. But if you'll just intensify your efforts in praying for them, I would appreciate that. Matter of fact, before we begin the sermon this morning, let me pray with you for your three names, all right? Father God, we're talking this morning about eternal kind of things. We're talking, Lord, about inner things. We're talking about souls and spirits and faith and belief and non-faith and non-belief and bringing others to faith. And so, Lord, this morning, Lord, for the hard clods, for hard souls, for those who are crusted and the gospel's just bouncing off of their heart right now, Lord, I pray for the rain of prayer. I pray, Lord, that we will come together as a church family and, Lord, just intensify our efforts in praying. Jesus, here's the mission statement of all eternity. You said in your word, you came to seek and to save the lost. That's what it's about. What we witnessed with these two children this morning is what it's about. I want to pray for the three names that's in our minds this morning of those, Lord, we're concerned. Matter of fact, some are afraid. They're fearful, Lord, of the fact they could live their lives without giving them to Christ. I pray, Lord, for their hard hearts to become soft and receive you, Jesus. And now bless this time as we're in your word, and God, to you be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, let's say our vision statement together. The vision of Five Forks Baptist Church is what? To see God's name become great among all nations, among all the world. Last week, as I began a little series on names, we looked at our names, our birth names, all right? This week, I want to share with you about a good name, making a name for ourselves. And we're going to look at that. Next week, you'll want to be here because it's going to be a day of worship. We're going to look at the name that God has for each believer when we stand before the throne, when we're in heaven. He's got a name, a different name for each and every one of us. I don't know what your name's going to be. I don't know what my name's going to be, but He has one. He's renamed us already in heaven, and we're going to learn that name one day. We're going to look at that in the book of Revelation, so you'll want to be here. But today, we want to look at making a name for ourselves. And how do we go about doing that? In our world, you know, we can make a name for ourselves in a million and one different ways, can't we? All you have to do is to read the Guinness Book of World Records. And if you can pick out something to do, swallow the most goldfish, or you can have the longest mustache in the world, you can have the most consecutive sneezes or the most pimples, whatever it is, something. As long as you've done the most or the fewest of anything, you can make a name for yourself in the Guinness Book of World Records. It's very easy to make a name for yourself, but it makes me ask, and I want for myself, and I want to ask you, what is the name that you're making for yourself? The Bible says this about a name. The Bible says having a good name is very, very important. In fact, in the book of 1 Timothy, it says one of the qualifications for spiritual leadership for me, for deacons, for any leader in the Church of Jesus Christ is that we got to have a good name. Our name must be good. It's important to make the right kind of name for ourselves. In Proverbs 22:1, here's the key verse for us this morning. A good name, the Bible says, is to be chosen rather than great riches. So self-worth, evidently, is more important than net worth. It's better to have a good name, it's better to have a good reputation than it is to be a millionaire. Ecclesiastes 7:1 reiterates this. A good name is better than precious perfume. You can smell real good, but if your name and your reputation doesn't match how you smell, it really doesn't matter, does it? It's important to have a good name. So we're going to look at the scriptures, particularly the book of Proverbs, and we're going to see what the Bible says about how we can earn the respect of other people, of how we can obtain a good name. Six times in the book of Proverbs, it tells us that if we do these certain things that God has chosen, if we do these certain things, if we have these certain characteristics in our lives, we'll have the respect of other people. We can have a good name. Now, the bottom line of what I want to say today is this, is that the Bible says the key to a good reputation, the key to a good name is character. It's all about character. That is our inner self, our inner desires, our drives, our motivations, our convictions, the beliefs that motivate how we live and how we respond to things. Character is what's on the inside. We know that, don't we? Reputation is what other people think that we are. Character is what we really are. Character is what we are in the dark. Character is going to be what we've left behind when we've lost everything there is to lose. And the only thing that we may have left, and whatever issue it is we're facing, the only thing we have left is our character. It takes a lifetime to build character. The Bible says the bottom line in the Christian life is for you and I as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, is to have Christ-like character. In other words, to become like Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 says that God, it's His intention, it's His purpose, it's His will for you and I to be conformed, to be molded, to be chiseled into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to look at these six character qualities from the book of Proverbs. Can I make a guarantee to you? Very few things we can guarantee. I'll guarantee this. That the Bible promises that if you build these six qualities into your life, you'll have a good name. You can be respected. Now, that word respect, I'm going to single us out here. Guys, men, the women, ladies, beauty is very important to you, isn't it? Security. You know what's important, the most important thing for a man? Respect. Respect. We like to be respected. We like it when our mate says, honey, you're doing a good job. We like that respect, don't we? We want to look today at respect. And I'm singling sort of kind of the guys out today because my heart goes to you guys. I've thought a lot just about family this week and how God has just blessed my heart with our family, and the book, it's not over yet. Our kids have many more years. Who knows what will happen, but I pray they'll always be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:21 that reputation can be tested. So I want to give a test today to all of us in here, male and female alike, so that we can evaluate ourselves on each of these character qualities and see, do I really earn the respect that I want? Do I deserve it? Number one, a good name. Respect is earned, the Bible says, number one, through integrity. Proverbs 17:7, fine speech is not becoming to a fool. Well, what does that mean? In other words, people with good names, respected people, they don't tell lies. They tell the truth. Malcolm Forbes, who began the publication of Forbes magazine, said, integrity is the basis for all true success. It's the foundation, it's the cornerstone. Without it, we'll never have genuine success. We need integrity. America needs some integrity. Would you think that we in America are in a crisis of integrity? It's affecting every area of our nation. Look at sports. Business, religion, we're assaulted by sleaze and scandals and hypocrisy as we're searching for our moral bearings that we seem to have lost. The Bible says if you want to be respected, number one, you need to be a person of integrity. Proverbs 10, verse 9, whoever walks in integrity will walk securely, but he who makes his ways crooked, you're going to be found out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his children. One of the greatest gifts I've learned and continuing to learn, one of the greatest gifts that I can give my children is to be a man of integrity. For my children to be able to say, well, when my dad opens his mouth, I guarantee you he's telling the truth. So let's end this first point here. Let me ask you to ask yourself these questions. How honest am I? 1, I'm honest when I'm convenient. Or 10, I'm honest all the time. If you want to be respected, if you want to have a good name, it's earned through integrity. The Bible doesn't stop there, though. It goes on to say a good name is earned through humility. Proverbs 29, verse 23. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly, he who is humble, will obtain honor. He'll be respected. Arrogance and pride, they'll make you fall, won't they? Be humble or you'll stumble, right? The Bible says, clothe yourselves with humility. And that's really dressing for success, I think. That's never out of style. The Bible says, God resists who? The proud. But who does he give grace to? The humble. Before honor is humility. Pride goes before destruction, right? The fact is, every person, I guarantee you, another guarantee, every person you meet, they'll be better at something than you are. We're all better at different things, are we not? So the truth ought to be, if I'm really humble, and if somebody's better in this area than I am, there's something I can learn from them. To be really humble, I can learn something from everybody. The evidence of humility is Proverbs 13, 18. Anyone who listens to correction is respected. Anyone who listens to correction is respected. So, do you listen to correction? How easy is it for you to admit when you're wrong? That's a tough one, isn't it? I heard a story about a high school principal who made a major mistake at school and in his career. Everybody, young and old in the school, knew about it. His initial reaction was like our initial reaction. You know what it was? I need to cover this up. I need to make this look good. Our natural thought is to hide our weaknesses so people will respect us. But the Bible says this, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end, it will lead to death. It won't turn out good. The Bible also says, God's ways are not our ways. The Bible also says, before you're honored comes humility. The more honest we are about ourselves, the more people will respect us. Well, anyway, this principle, this was the decision he made. For the morning announcements, which went out over the intercom, all over the school, okay, the principal apologized to the school. He made that apology and he thought, oh man, it's over now. I'm going down in their eyes. I'm going to lose esteem in this. But contrary to that, because he humbled himself, he became the most popular and respected high school principal in that district. He said later on, for months afterwards, students would come up to him and say stuff like this, sir, I wish I had a dad like you. I wish it wasn't so hard for my dad to admit when he's wrong. When everybody in the family knows he's wrong, he won't admit it. Humility will raise the value of people, and it will raise your value and my value when we're honest. So now, rate yourself 1 to 10 on this one. How open am I to correction? 1, I'm never open. Or 10, I'm always open to learn something new. That's a test of humility. The third character trait or quality the Bible says for us to have a good name, it's earned through dependability. We all admire people who can be counted on, don't we? People who are reliable, trustworthy, who are consistent, who are faithful. Proverbs 25:14 says this, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift that he doesn't have. Have you ever met anybody like that? Somebody who will say, well, I'll tell you this, one of these days I'm going to whatever, but they never do it. They're long on promises, but short on performance. Napoleon once said this, promise everything, deliver nothing. Boy, he could fit into Washington, couldn't he? You know what that convicted me of too? Making promises as a husband, making promises as a parent, and not keeping them. Man, it's easy when you're tired, isn't it? Isn't it easy when you're busy? Or you just want to get the kids out of your hair to make promises and then later you're too tired to perform? You know what your kids will begin to say? Is Dad, Mom, are they dependable? Are they reliable? Do they keep their promises? Can they be counted on? Psalm 115, verses 4 and 5 says this, the one who keeps his word, whatever the cost, will never ever be shaken. If you want to be respected, if you want to have a good name, integrity, honesty, humility, and dependability, the question is here, do I keep my promises? Can I be counted on? When I say it, does my word stand? The fourth characteristic or quality. A good name is earned through living by priorities. Proverbs 11:27. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor. Whoever diligently seeks good will be respected. Proverbs 14:22. Those who devise good meet steadfast love and faithfulness. Let me put it another way. You will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good, if you work for the good things. Respect is earned by living by priorities. I believe the writer of Proverbs was saying this. He's talking about having a worthwhile purpose in our lives, of having a cause to live for, of investing our time and our lives and not just frittering them away, of wasting it on non-essentials. People who earn the respect of others, people who make a name for themselves, they have a worthwhile goal for their lives. They set it and they go for it, and people will say, many people will say, that person, he or she, they know what they want out of life. Their goals are good. They'll earn respect. Having the right priorities is the secret of an effective life. You don't have time for everything, so we're going to have to select here. That's the name of the game. Will Rogers once said, everybody's ignorant only on different subjects. I've chosen to be ignorant in certain areas so that I can know more about the Word of God, so that I can know more about my family. We've got to decide on what's important, and if our goals are good, we'll be respected. If you want the respect of others, you earn it through integrity and honesty, dependability, and living by priorities. Fifthly, we earn respect. We make a good name for ourselves through generosity. Psalm 112, verse 9. He who has given generously, he who has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. No one is ever respected for what they receive. They're only respected and honored for what they're given. No one is ever respected for something they've inherited. They're respected and honored for what they give in life. Jane and I, we had an opportunity a few years back to go on a cruise. And it's just a great time to kick back and relax. And one of the ports of call was Puerto Rico. And so we took a tour. We went through this big old fort that they had there and really enjoyed it, learned about Puerto Rico. We had an 85-year-old tour guide. And man, she knew everything there was about Puerto Rico. She wore me out walking around the city that day. Right, Jane? It was great. But we passed one thing in Puerto Rico, and you know what it was? It was the city library. What's the big deal? You ever heard the name of Andrew Carnegie or Andrew Carnegie, however you want to pronounce it? I mean, one of the multimillionaires, one of the richest men in America and in the world 100 years ago or so. And this is what he said when he started making his money. I want to spend the first half of my life accumulating as much money as I can. And then I want to spend the second half of my life giving it all away. What's that got to do with the library, a city library? He spent much of his fortune building libraries all over the world. What's the big deal? That is a big deal, right? You know, to have a place where you could go and to read and to learn and to take your children. During his lifetime, he gave it all away during the second half of his life. Now, there's only one problem with that, all right? If you want to mimic that, if you want to model that, there's only one problem with it. None of us are guaranteed the second half of life. How do you know when you're beginning the second half of your life? So if you're going to become a generous person, you better start now because you're not assured of tomorrow. Do your giving while you're living, then you'll know where it's going. Give it now. When it comes to giving, many people stop at nothing, right? Become a generous person, you'll make a name for yourself. The question is, what kind of giver am I? I get a 1 if I'm stingy. I get a 5 if I'm a cheerful giver. I get a 10 if I'm a sacrificial giver. Last one, last quality, we're done. A good name, respect is earned through spirituality. What do I mean by that? Proverbs 3, 4, and 6. Miss Catherine, I'm reminded of you because this is your favorite verse. If you'll find favor and success in the sight of God and man, this is what you got to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Isn't that a great verse? If you want favor with both God and man, spirituality brings not only favor with God, it will bring favor with man as well. How? It'll give you a reputation. It'll give you a name. And I still believe, even in our culture, people are naturally drawn to those who genuinely love God and put God first in every area of their lives. We're going to give you some help later on in February about how to pray for your neighbors. And you begin praying for your neighbors. If you take that seriously and begin praying for them, I promise you this, God's going to start bringing 1 or 2 across your path. And they're going to realize that you're Christians. Something may be going on in their life nobody else can help them with. It may be anything, but your reputation will precede you. I'm not talking about those who fake being spiritual, a fake being a Christian. I'm talking about people who are real and who genuinely love God, and they're respected even by unbelievers. Proverbs 31, 30 through 31 says this about women. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, that's the woman who's going to be respected. Give her the fruit of her hands. She deserves the respect of everyone. Men, husbands, fathers, boyfriends, listen to me. If your wife, your girlfriend loves the Lord, you ought to honor her. The tragedy is that in too many homes, the wife bears or wears the spiritual pants, and she's more committed to Christ than the man is. It's very easy to take our wives for granted. If your wife loves the Lord, respect her. Respect her. Respect her for it. The question is, how deep is my relationship to God? 1 to 10. 1 is pretty shallow, or 10, it's consistent, it's strong, and it's growing. I'm going to end with a story about 7 men who were successful, eminently successful financially. All 7 of these men had made a name for themselves in the financial market. They were 7 of the most financially successful men in the history of the world. It goes back a few years. In 1923, a group of the world's most successful financiers met at the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago. As I said, they were seven of the most financial successful men in the world in history. Collectively, these men controlled more wealth than there was in the United States Treasury. For years, newspapers and magazines printed their success stories, and they urged the youth of the nation to follow their examples. But let's look at the rest of the story, shall we? Charles Schwab, you've heard of him, the president of the largest independent steel company, he lived on borrowed money the last 5 years of his life and died penniless. Arthur Cutton, the greatest wheat speculator in history, died abroad insolvent. Richard Whitney, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, served a prison sentence in Sing Sing Prison in New York. Albert Fall, a member of the president's cabinet, was pardoned from prison so that he could die at home. Jesse Livermore, the greatest bear in the history of Wall Street, committed suicide. Leon Frazier, the president of the Bank of the International Settlements, committed suicide. Ivan Kruger, the head of the world's greatest monopoly, committed suicide. All of these men learned to make a living, but they failed to make a life. Proverbs 10:7 says, "The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot." So my last question for all of us this morning is this: when we die, what are people going to remember about us? What are they going to remember the most about you and about me? If we die tomorrow, what are people going to remember? What are our kids and our families going to remember? The Bible says that good people are remembered as a blessing. Wouldn't it great when the day comes and we die and to have our family say, "One of the greatest blessings in my life was that I had a godly dad. I had a father who was a man of integrity, and when he said it, it was the truth. He was a man of humility, and he was a man of dependability. If he promised it, you could count on it. He was a man of generosity. He wasn't stingy. He didn't rob God. He didn't rob people. He was always giving. He was a man with the right priorities. He didn't waste the time that he had. He had good goals. He was a man of spirituality who put God first in his life and in every area. That's the kind of man that I want to be." What are your family going to say about you when you die? Ladies, wouldn't it be great when you died, your husband would say, "The greatest blessing in my life, my earthly life, was my wife. She was a continual support. She was a constant encouragement. When I was flat on my back, she believed in me, and she challenged me to live for the Lord." That's the thing that could happen. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to the earth. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He went back to heaven. And now for those who believe, He's given His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to their lives to make the character changes that we need and that we want. We can't just lift ourselves up by the bootstraps. Let me say it again. You can't lift yourself up by the bootstraps and say, "I'm going to be a person of integrity. I'm going to be a humble person. I'm going to be proud of my humility." That kind of character, it takes God in a life. It says, "Always trust in the Lord in every area, and He'll guide you and crown your efforts with success." And that can happen if we allow His Spirit to control our lives. And we focus on character, not image. We focus on making a life more than we focus on making a living. Let's make a good name for ourselves. Father, I want to thank You for today. I want to thank You for life lessons that Your Word has for us. I want to thank You that Your heart is revealed. Lord, number one is that it's Your will and purpose that everyone would come to faith in Christ. And then, Lord, you get Your microscope out and You show us the most pleasing and the best way to live. Father, thank You that we can make a name for ourselves. We can't do it on our own. We need You. Help us to be people like your word is described this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.